I've been, I didn't finish the aggressive pattern, but I'm almost finished.
Oh, good.
And because too many things happen. And then I was going to do it last night. And then my husband said, no, you've been too busy. So he got tickets to go watch a band. We went to a theater. So I said, well, I won't have my homework finished. But he said, no, you need a break. So and I did. That was good. So now I'm fresh. Now I can catch up. Today I'll be here at home. And he decided to go to the office to work all day because he has a lot to get done.
So, Lynn, how are you doing? Were you able to get the yay, good job. You're fast.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. I have my grandchildren over. I have my grandchildren this weekend. And so I had two of my older children take them out for the next few hours to the local nature center. So... And then
smart thinking, Grandma. So you can have some settledness while you multitask with all these calls today.
Exactly. Well, and I have another one after the second one.
So, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a full day for you.
Another full day.
Yeah. Good, good, good. So for the next one, well, I'll talk to you about that after this one. So we're good for me to do a co-share a screen share. Yeah, because I already tested it out, so I'm good to go with that. Hi, Tony.
Hello, Emma.
Hi. Nice to see you.
Good evening.
Yay.
Hi, it's Dorothy.
Hi, Dorothy. I'm so glad you could get on. Yay.
Thank you. Yes, I just will be on the phone.
Okay, that's all right. At least you're here with us. And you can watch the PowerPoint on the replay.
Yes. I love this chapter.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's intense, huh? Hi, Steph. Nice to see you. My healer. I have homework, too. I've been doing my homework. I got my new tea infuser, and I'm all ready to go.
Nice.
Yeah. Let's see who we have here. Sign in through the email that you received, the reminder email that has the link right in it. Okay. Hi, Jan. Nice to have you back with us.
Thank you.
Both Jans. Hi, Jan, Jan. Jan, Jan, and they're right next to each other. And Janet. Jan, Jan, and Janet. Okay. And we have somebody else on the phone, too. Dorothy, are you on two phones? You're both 720 area code.
Laura, that's me, Cynthia.
Oh, Cynthia.
And Dorothy's husband's phone.
Oh, okay. Oh, we have a 720 and a 702. Oh, I thought I was having this dyslexic moment there. That's great. Okay. Good. Jan, you're going to do attendance for us today? Great. Thank you. All right, we're all rejoining. Yay! Feels like it's been a long time since I've seen everybody, but it really hasn't. Hi, Deborah. Yay. You're sitting outside in your wonderful yard. You and Jan, I'm always jealous of those backyards of yours.
I'm in a motel room today. So
Okay.
I view out the window.
Of course, I have a nice backyard too, so I can't complain. Okay. All right. So it is time to start. And I'd love to just start with a deep breath. I know everybody's not on the call yet, but hi, Jeanette. There's Jeanette. But it's 11, so I want to get us started because we always have so much content to cover. So let's start with just take a look around, see each other's beautiful smiling faces. Hi, Janine. Yay. Nice to have you back. And just see who's here and take a couple of deep breaths. And let's do a little tapping your feet on the floor or on the ground, wherever you are, and tapping your legs and get landed in your body and breathing. A couple deep breaths. And let's just do a transitional meditation to help us land here. So just take a moment to close your eyes and take a couple deep breaths. And feel yourself just dropping into being here, letting everything go of wherever else you've been, whatever else you've been doing, to just enter the classroom of our group energy, knowing that consciousness is not restricted by physical space or time. Our consciousness is linking in right now to the group energy field. So just feel as though you're plugging yourself into the iCloud of our group consciousness. And take a couple deep breaths. And then go ahead and feel yourself landing here. Okay, so let's just do a brief check-in, just a very brief, maybe one sentence or so of where you are right now and anything about just initial response to this chapter that's present with us. So, Kimberly, we have somebody who can't seem to join in with the link that they've been sent. This is a 512 number, 627-4262. Lynn, could I ask you to try calling that or texting that person to see if you can help them? I don't even know who it is. I just got a text from 512-627-4262.
Okay, 512-
627-4262.
4262. Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
So Kimberly, do you want to just do a quick check-in?
Sure. I'm excited about this pattern. I love this pattern mostly because it's totally different from me. And so I have so much to learn from the gifts of this pattern. So I'm excited to learn more.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And we'll come back to Lynn. Louisa. You're still on mute.
No, I really have enjoyed what I have learned about it. I am pretty sure I am not yet, but I have found some things that I think I can relate to. So I don't know. That just kind of, I just think I'm a mixture of everything.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yes. We're all a bit of a mixed breed, even though we'll have predominant tendencies in a certain area. Thank you, Louisa. Tony.
I'm excited to dig deep into this pattern. It intrigues me and it also terrifies me.
Yes, well said. Thank you, Tony. Good. Okay, Deborah.
Well, this is one of the patterns I get into. So, so it's my, it was hard to admit to myself, but that's one of the patterns I get into, and it's gotten me in trouble in some of my relationships in the past. So I, you know, could admit that. But I also have the compensated merging pattern. That's my first one I go to initially, and then go off to the aggressive part of, because I've always had to do things on my own throughout my whole life. So I had to, when I was reading through this, it just made me sad.
Yes.
Because I was forced into it.
Yeah. Boy, that's so astute what you just said, you know, and, you know, and what's interesting too is that very last thing you just said, it made you sad because you were forced into it. And so in it's such a great way of stating the fact that we really are, you could say, at the mercy of how we're trained, you know, in so many ways. So thanks for bringing that point to light, that very sort of subtle point to light. Thank you. Jan.
I'm assuming you mean me, so we'll let maybe Jan
go. Okay. That's fine, Jan Chamberlain. You can go, and then we'll do the other Jan.
I'm curious about this pattern, too, because I don't really identify with it, except I've noticed that I will go into it only when I'm very, very comfortable with the people around me, or I'll do it when I'm by myself towards myself, which obviously is another area where I'm comfortable. And I find that a little scary. So I'm interested in this.
Yes, very good awareness. And yeah, there's some interesting dynamics to this pattern. And you know, those of you who think you're not qualified may find out that you are by the time we're done talking about it. So Jan Stover, let's go to the other Jan.
Okay. Yeah, same thing. It seems that depending on who I'm around and who we're most comfortable with, as you said, who I'm most comfortable with, then I am more able to see that that's the things I'm reading about do happen. But I also was curious that anytime you pick up a newspaper or turn on the news and you see the violence in the world and the struggles that are happening, it just sort of made me think how far back this goes for each person that winds up in prison. Or, you know, it's interesting how much power these patterns can have.
Yes, that is so true. And I'm going to talk about that point, actually, why we end up in prison. Has such an interesting piece to do with this particular personality pattern and the lack of boundaries that they were provided and clarity and safety. So thanks for bringing that up. Janet.
Yes, this was a pattern that I could identify with an ex-husband at the time. I was married when I was 19 to my high school sweetheart, and this was his pattern. And of course, that didn't last very long. We were shortly parted after that, but it was shocking to see that pattern and see him in that so very clearly. It was very, very defining and a difficult pattern for me to read and study.
Yeah, it's a great piece of information where you connected the dots. It sounds like, you know, it kind of answers so much mystery of where we go awry, right? And you weren't equipped to know how to deal with it at that time. And so it's a lot of tenderness and forgiveness is going to need to be brought forward for, you know, for you and for all of us, right? As we learn about the traps that we fall into in how to respond to this pattern. So thank you for bringing that point up. Beautiful. Steph.
Hey, it's a bit loud here, so I'll just try to be really fast. So I recognize this pattern in myself and in people that I choose to be close to, but I've also been spending a lot of time with Jasper and with other kids this past week. And I see them experimenting with different behaviors, and I, like, who could blame, like, a four-year-old who's trying to, you know, like, so I don't know. I am growing in empathy, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful, yeah. And I like what you, how you framed that too, experimenting with different behaviors, because that's really what they're doing in this, these developmental stages. That's what we are all doing. We're really trying to figure out, you know, who am I? How do I, what do I evoke from other people? What are my limits? You know, what's okay? What isn't okay? There's all this upward energy surging through the system as they grow that they have to discharge, and they don't know yet how to do that appropriately. So that's why, you know, having this information is so incredibly useful. So thanks for bringing that point up. Jeanette.
Hi, everyone. I've seen the good and the bad of this pattern in myself. So I think what's nice for me is, though, is I'm starting to become more aware of when that not so nice part comes out. I'm aware of that and address that. Where is this coming from? Is it because of what this person said or did or what I saw? So it's becoming more awareness, which turns into good.
Yeah, beautiful. I love that you're self-reflective like that. And that's really the quality that we all have, that we are all developing by doing a course like this, is that ability to self-reflect about our behaviors and our actions so that we can begin to choose and make different choices. Thanks. Janine.
Well, the way that I'm feeling right now is a little bit behind and backtracking from my weeks of being gone. And so I really don't feel fully prepared to be here today. And I'm here. And when I remember you kind of going over this particular pattern, I identified with several things about it, but not having dug deep into it, I'm a little bit not present, I guess, in being able to utilize our learning time here discussing this, but I'm doing the best I can at the moment, so...
Well, thanks for just naming that, you know, and I suspect you're not alone, because as we do this work, it's the first time around in actuality that I'll just speak from my own experience, but I've also seen it in so many students. The first time around, in a way, it's so shocking to our system. It's so eye-opening and it's so new that it's almost like we're in a little bit of a shock reverberation, just trying to, as you said, stay present at all to take it in, because there's things happening on multiple levels. There's an energetic shift happening. There's a new paradigm shift happening in our intellect. And there's so much processing going on that it's really, for most of us, too much at once. And I remember I had a student that went through the entire intensive training of this. And I'm not talking about in a Zoom class. I'm talking about a 15 days of intense three-day weekends of each character structure. And she didn't say a word the whole time. And most of the time she looked like she was in total shock. And then she took the course again. And the second time around, she said, I think I can start talking now. So it took her, you know, so I just want you to know you're not alone in that kind of experience. Anybody else feeling that at times? Raise your hand. Feel that. So take a look around. So you're in good company here. We're all really deeply processing, but I love how clearly you were able to articulate that experience for all of us. So enough of you is still functioning that you could, this is what the beauty of the adult mind is, right? We still have this incredible capacity to articulate a lot of our experience, even though we can't integrate it all quite yet. Valerie.
This is the pattern I identify with the least, but I see where it has impacted my life from other people. So I'm exploring that and still very curious about learning more about the pattern.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Valerie. Coming right up. Lynn.
Which Lynn?
Oh, okay. Well, we'll start with Lynn DeBure Johnson, and then we'll go to you.
Okay. I know. I was like, well, I don't hear anything.
Go ahead, Lynn.
I'm in good company with that, Lynn. so I I don't think this, this is a pattern that I grew up with being presented to me. And so it's not innate to me, but I recognize it. And I can, there are times when it comes out of me. And so this is my second time going through it, Janine. So I'm getting so much going out of this the second time that it's so helpful. It's really been grounding. Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Lynn. Good, good, good. Okay, other Lynn.
I again don't relate as much to this pattern as the others. Of course, I said that about enduring too, but I find that I can't really connect with anger and that kind of aggressive behavior. Otherwise, I think a lot of it's just turned inward. I think that's most of it. And passive aggressive, yes, but not so much the aggressive pattern. I've missed a lot of the gatherings here, so I'm feeling a little bit scattered too. So I need to pick back up because this may be the only one I can go to. I've changed. There's a lot of things going on in my life right now because of these patterns. And, so there's some shifts going on. And so I just have to give myself some room.
Good. And I'm glad you're here today with us and being gentle around that. That's great. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you. Mary Lynn.
I was going to say pretty much the same thing that Valerie said. This is what the pattern that I relate to the least, although I do find it in myself. I've seen it in myself in the past. And years ago when I was working in the corporate world, and so my whole circumstances were different, and that seems to affect what patterns I use. And most currently I'm using it to recognize why I never could feel comfortable with certain people and to be more forgiving around that.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much, Marilyn. Good point. Michelle.
So with this pattern, I'm probably similar to Valerie and Mary Lynn, not as much identifying for myself as a primary, but I have been in contact with it many times, by reading this, I feel I've seen. And I was really intrigued by and a little bit inspired that this pattern can, you know, run energy so strongly, like be able to pull from above and, you know, the earth and above and just run it through. And so that's a really nice gift to have. And just interested in exploring it further.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Michelle. Good. Yeah, lots of gifts in this pattern too, boy. Chris.
Hi.
Hi.
I can really relate to what Janine shared and also what Lynn shared. This is, you know, my first time working with this information, so it's amazing, and it's bringing up a lot of things for me also. And I'm still processing everything, so I'm still kind of working with it. But it's really loving the information and the work, so
great.
Feeling thank hopeful.
You. Yes, thank you, Chris. Good. Jill. You're still on mute.
Okay. There, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just going to say that I think it's interesting that I see myself in little bits of all these patterns. So I thought, I'm for sure the enduring pattern, but but I see myself in a little bit in all of them. So I don't know if I've completely defined, you know, one pattern for myself, but anyway, it's been interesting to explore it.
Yes, great. I relate to that too, seeing ourselves. And also sometimes when we're in different circumstances or different situations, it will evoke more of a particular kind of patterned response in us than other situations or other interactions with people. So thanks for that, Jill. Anne.
Good morning. I grew up with this pattern in my household. And so, of course, I did everything possible when I became an adult to just not behave the way that, what, you know, family members were always raging at each other and being aggressive. And so, you know, I was always very surprised when my own rage and aggression would come out. You know, it usually would catch me quite off guard, and then I would just feel miserable, like, oh my God, I cannot believe that I just, you know, erupted in this person's face, or, you know, and it was always shocking to me when that came through my, through my being, because I just had worked so hard not to be like them.
Yes.
You know, so, but it's in there. So I would say I don't identify with this pattern at all, but that's really not the whole truth.
Yeah. You know, you're bringing up a really good point, because those of us who grew up with a lot of rage or anger or violence in our home lives, many people in reaction to that make a vow to never be like that. Mm-hmm. But the but is, it'll slip out sideways in some other way, or it'll get buried so deep because we're so in denial of our anger that it has to find a way out, because we don't know how to appropriately express it. And there, so the search is, how can I safely and appropriately express it in such a way that isn't so harming of other people, right? And mm-hmm. and that's the quest, and that's also the blind spot or the blank that we're trying to figure out and fill in. And Dorothy.
Hello. I see this pattern through my life, and how I attracted others, and then when that attraction occurred, how I had to go into the enduring pattern during that, and then go back into survival, because I felt alone, I felt that no one cared, I had to survive, and that survival piece sometimes led to my own aggression, where I'm ashamed to say this, but if I could find a weak person, then I was a bully. That was very early in my childhood. As an adult, when this came out, it was to protect other people. And I actually felt myself like become one time a bear. And I was going to get that person because they were going to harm somebody else. And I've chose now not to respond in that manner. And I have to work very hard to keep that aggression down when I feel my safety or another is in danger. So for me, it was always like danger, danger, you know, Mr. Danger's around. It kept me alert. It kept me alert.
Yes. Boy, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
No, I appreciate what I'm learning. Yeah. And I'm grateful for what I am able to see and how I want to become a better person because of what I'm learning.
Beautiful. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And I know I feel that intention with everybody in the group. I mean, that's the goal, right? That we really want to become the best that we can be for ourselves and for other people. So thank you for articulating that for all of us, Dorothy. And I forgot who our other phone person is.
Cynthia. Thea.
Oh, yes, Thea. Yay.
I'm having so much fun playing and invoking curiosity, especially into this pattern. I love this concept of terrain medicine and ecological medicine and looking at our environment and our ecology externally and within. And I'm reflecting back to when my ecology was so messed up due to inflammatory state, dysbiosis, and, you know, all these foods and lifestyle choices I was making, I was very much in this pattern in a low functioning way. Mm-hmm. And I'm so loving this community because I feel like I'm moving into my Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther phase of life and empowering others. So I love that, to use Lynn's word this week, juxtaposition of, you know, aggressive power versus empowering others.
I love you're putting Mahatma Gandhi and ninja side by side. Thanks for that, Priya. Okay, and Michelle, I think we didn't get you yet. Are you able to join us on camera? We can't hear you. I don't know if you're there or I see you on.
Well, are you talking about Michelle Hernandez?
Yes.
We did hear.
Oh, yes, we did. Okay. Okay. I guess we just can't see you today, Michelle. Okay. So, all right. So I'm going to launch us right in to this pattern. And let's. Okay. So I actually prefer to call this pattern the controlling pattern, because I find that it's not just expressed through aggression. It's mostly expressed through control. And there are several other, you know, Stephen Johnson, I think it was, that talked about three components to expressing this controlling pattern called ominous, submissive, and withdrawn. So those of you who think, oh, I don't have this, well, we just might have some new information for you. So the controlling pattern, or as Kessler calls it, the aggressive pattern, has quite a range of expression. He's pretty adherent to just the aggressive when he talks about it in this book, but I want to touch on more than just that form of expression of the controlling pattern. So the goal, of course, is to get out of pattern and back in present time as quickly as we can. And how do we do that? By learning how to feel safe with vulnerability, learning appropriate trust, learning how to request our emotional needs to be met, realizing and feeling that I am not alone, that I'm held by something stronger that is loving, because they were really abandoned by any kind of strong support or betrayed by the strong support that they could have had. So they learned how to be mistrustful of anything or anyone that was bigger or stronger than them. And so we'll talk about why and what and how they had to go after survival as a result of that. And the gifts are a really strong core as a result. Remember, developmentally, we're a little bit older now, so we have more of a connection to our life force, our vital energy. So there's a strong core development. There's a fearlessness, a leadership, a strength, a focus, and a power. So those of you who have kids, you know, well, I think, Steph, you're boy is what, about 7 right now? So he's right at, he's 9. Is that right? 9. Okay. So he's a little bit older now, but when they're about 5, 6, 7, even younger, really 3, 4, 5, it can start. There's this fearlessness. They're going to climb on that jungle gym. They're not going to be a good judge of their safety limits yet. Right. So they can get hurt very easily, but they're fearless. They're like, I can jump across that river, you know, and they'll try, because they don't have a well-developed sense of danger yet. So they need that, but that fearlessness is inherent in that developmental stage for them in a really amazing kind of way. There's a strength, a focus, and a power. And remember, our psyche will try to complete any unfinished developmental stage for the rest of our lives, so which will bring us back into that prison analogy we're going to talk about later. But we're looking for love in all the wrong places and in all the wrong ways. We look for love in only the ways we knew and learned how to do it. So that's what happens with these patterns. We are actually looking for love in only the way we knew and learned. This is what love means. It means
that, you know, it marries the behaviors that we got with what we didn't get. And I'll explain that more, a little bit more later. So let's look at what happened. What happened is in about the ages of 3 to 5, could be a little bit older, up to 7 or so even, you were not protected at a time of vulnerability. They were disowned. Their needs were disowned, and they had to rely on their will and their strength to survive. So here's this little girl in need of something here, support, attention. Dad could care less at the moment. So she's on her own over here. She gets picked up, but there's no connection. Dad is over here. His focus is not on her. So there's a feeling of disownment in their time of need. Okay, so, oops, let's go to, why am I not able to move forward? Okay. Okay, developmental needs. The request at this age is set limits and keep me safe, right? I need the boundaries. I need to know that you're there for me. I need to know that someone or something is bigger and stronger than me that will help me to feel safe. I need your love and your power. I need both of those things. I need to feel loved. So this to me looks very loving, right? This is a really loving daddy, but he's also setting some limits for this child, right? So he's connecting. He's making limits. She's setting boundaries here. And she's connecting. And the task is vulnerable connection. I need to feel vulnerable when I'm making connection with you. So what happened? How did the wound happen? The parents can't stay connected to the child's intense emotions. So at this developmental age, there is so much energy being discharged. There's so much strength and power. And when we're 3 years old, we're really, like you could say, we're really close to the ground, right? We're not very tall when we're 3, 4, 5 years old. So all the earth energy, all that strong charging earth energy is coming up through our little body. And we can't contain it. We can't hold it all. So that's why when kids are this age, you know, I remember one of my friends saying he would just take his kids when they were 4 and 6 years old to McDonald's in the wintertime to the playrooms. You know, they had those big playroom, you know, all those jungle gym things in the indoor McDonald's. And he'd sit there for hours and let their kids just go, ah, you know, and scream and run and discharge because there would be so much energy that they would just have to discharge. So for many parents, they cannot tolerate that level of intense emotion. And usually they can't tolerate it because their parents couldn't tolerate it. So the parents collapsed and gave in to my demands. So while I'm talking about this, if you want to put into the chat, I'd love to hear some shares about how was anger expressed in your household growing up, and how are you at expressing anger? How do you express your anger? How are you at expressing anger for yourself? How does it show up or not show up for you? How do you express anger? And how did you receive anger when you were growing up? So imagine that this is going on in your house for several hours and you're a parent. This would be pretty tough for any parent to stay connected, lovingly connected to. So this is the challenge of the parent, right? This little girl is biting mommy. I mean, you can't make me. I'm in charge, right? And she's biting mommy. Mommy's like, what do I do with this, right? Ah, and it hurts. So she needs a limit, right? This child needs a limit here. And I'll fight you. So right, the kid has all this anger energy. I'll fight you. But I need you to win, Dad. I need you to win. But I want to fight, but I need you to win. So I need you to be able to tolerate my power. I need you to set those limits for me. I need you to tell me when I'm not doing something, when I'm doing something that's not okay, but without hating me. I get to hate you, but you don't get to hate me back. So this is also one of those stages, developmental stage, where the kid will say, I hate you, right? I hate you. And the parent has to be able to tolerate that and say, yeah, I hear you that you hate me. I really hear you. I'm really angry right now. And, you know, you can hate me, but you don't get to kick me. I hear your feelings of hate right now. Okay. So the second thing that happens, so the first thing that happens, parents collapsed and gave in to my demands. And that, you could say, is kind of a betrayal because I need you to be in charge. So I think, to my integration group last week, I shared a little story about when I was teaching at a university, and I was getting, I was having my supervision meeting with my supervisor, and he brought his three, it was on a Saturday morning, and he brought his three-year-old kid with him, and the kid was climbing up all over his desk and throwing papers on the ground and just really being unruly while we were having our meeting. And I would watch him pick up his child and put the child down on the ground and say, now, honey, don't do that, sweetheart. Sweetheart, don't do that. And so the message was so not clear. He couldn't feel the power of the boundary that need, and the kid would just go back and do it again and again and again. So even though he was saying no, the message was a complete collapse. And this is a betrayal to the child. He needed to feel daddy's power in that moment. And it's a very delicate balance for a parent to try to find. So what happens if the second thing that could happen is the parent retaliates to my demands by attacking, abandoning, or shaming me. So, and then the child feels alone. So this is the parent who cannot tolerate the child's power and has to retaliate or overly control or shame or punish the child for their expression. So, and this is just a heartbreaking picture to me. This child feels so alone and so abandoned and so shamed by this. And this is the child who is like, I'm completely alone, and you won't break my will even though I'm all alone. And so this is how the child chooses to cope with this. I'm going to you won't break my will, I'll be alone, I'll survive, right? And this is because there's a little bit more developmental maturity at this life stage. Okay. So, and the third way that this wounding can happen is mommy's little man, or this could be daddy's little girl. Safety lies in aligning with mom and surpassing dad. So it usually is in aligning with one parent and having to surpass the other parent. And this is typically done with the opposite sex parent. So it'll be daddy will make the little girl his, you know, you're my little, your daddy's little girl or your mommy's little man, and the parent emotionally seduced or manipulated and then betrayed and cut off the child. And how that happens is the little boy feels like I'm your favorite. I'm favorite. I'm more important than daddy. I'm more important than my sister. I'm mommy's favorite. But what happens is then there's this feeling of betrayal where mommy goes back to daddy, and you kids shut up and eat your food. I'm not mommy's favorite. And there's this horrible feeling of betrayal that happens for the child. And so a mistrust is formed. There's an emotionally being made the emotional partner. So this could happen often when there's, a spouse that travels a lot or is emotionally unavailable. And so the parent looks to the child for their inappropriate emotional needs. It could be inappropriate sexual needs. Also, if it becomes sexualized, it could become sexualized without even having it result in incest. It could be emotional incest. It doesn't have to be physical incest for this pattern to evolve. So we're taking deep breaths, everybody, because I know this is getting a little bit intense here in the topic. Okay, so the inner thought patterns, what do they look like? They look like becoming critical of others, becoming fearless, insensitive of others. I have to feel my own power. I have to control a situation in order to feel safe. I become mistrustful. And I am a realistic truth seeker because I'm seeking for what's really going on here at all times. So what are the messages? How angry do I have to get to make you do what I want? So remember that behind this aggression, again, is really this control. I really want you to just do what I want. If you did what I wanted, I wouldn't have to get aggressive. And what does it evoke? I'm never going to be your friend again. It evokes fear. It evokes abandonment. It evokes followers. It evokes betrayal. And these are people who seek love indirectly as they can't feel or acknowledge their own needs. This is really not even conscious that they're seeking love. They're seeking friends or followers or people who will support their ideals. They're not even able to acknowledge the fact that they need love. Love to them looks more like adoration or idolization, than a mutual sharing of intimacy. So these are really people who are quite terrified of intimacy. And the belief is only the strong survive. I am always the responsible one. I used to have a business relationship with someone who I would hear her say repeatedly, "Why am I always the only adult in the room?" I'm always the only adult in the room. And that was, it's such a marker of this pattern, this personality pattern. I'm the adult in the room. Okay. And then it evokes followers. I'd follow her anywhere, you know, because these are charismatic people, really strong leaders, fearless leaders. And they're realistic. And they can weigh out and see the odds. So they evoke followers. So what else does it evoke in relationships? I love the chase. Okay, so here's the chase, the chase and the conquest. I don't care about the repercussions of the conquest. I don't care how many people lose as a result of it. I'm only interested in the conquest, and once I've conquered you, I'm bored and I want to move on and control the next thing because my life force, my vitality comes up in the conquest. That's at one extreme of the spectrum, right? I'll go to war just so I can conquer you. But there's also underneath that, there's some pretty great virtues, right? I'll fight to the death for right. So that's the fearlessness, right? And there's an innate mistrust. I'll pretend I trust you, but inwardly, I really don't trust you. It takes a woman. I mean, you know, I don't trust men. I'm only going to trust certain personality types. And then there's the charismatic, charming, aggressive pattern personality or controlling pattern personality. You don't stand a chance with me because I'm going to just charm you into doing anything I want. Okay. So we recreate relationships of the punishing parent. This is oftentimes what we will do when we move into adult life. We will try to recreate a relationship with the most punishing parent that we had or the most unavailable parent that we had because we're trying to heal that relationship. We're trying to find a way to make the parent that loved us least finally love us most. It's all subconscious, but is that making sense in some sort of weird way? Because in actuality, it really, really does. Okay. So adult defensive action. the recourses when not given love, boundaries, or support are, there are three recourses that we do. We use anger or aggression, which I think it was Stephen Johnson that coined these terms, ominous, they called it the psychopathic defense or the aggressive defense, the ominous defense. This is where the energy goes up and out to control the territory around them. They'll release excess charge, covering up terrified, buried needs. They're not even in touch with those terrified, buried needs of theirs. And their fears are rejected and projected onto others so that are weak, that and I am strong. This is the person who will hate the person who is weak. Okay, so Jan, when you did that share earlier, it reminded me of a story I'm going to share with you. Kind of an embarrassing story, but when I was in kindergarten, okay, this really speaks to this pattern. When I was in kindergarten, I was the skinniest, ugliest little girl in the class, except for one other little girl who was skinnier and uglier than me. So when we had to sit at our little rectangular tables, right, with five at a table, I would, and now, mind you, I had a sister who was a year and half older than me, who, just to let you know, she was more of the aggressive expressing, outwardly expressing one. So she used to beat me up a lot. And so being the skinniest, ugliest girl in the class, when we would have nap time, rest time, I would scooch my little chair over to the little girl that was sitting next to me, who was skinnier and uglier than me. And under the table, I would pinch her really hard. And she would very quietly make these faces and try really hard not to cry. And then I would scooch my little chair sneakily back over like I had done nothing. So that I embarrassingly share you that story with you, because it's such a potent example of that aggressive energy pattern, right? That I was just trying to discharge this hurt, anger that I felt so abused and so taken advantage of and so helpless and so weak, that I would just find all this pleasure in pinching this little girl. And so this pattern person learns to hate whoever and whatever is weak, or and they will go after that person. This is where you get the CEOs who will try to make their secretary cry. And they'll hire the secretary who does just that, who will oftentimes be the enduring pattern person, who will just repress and contain it all in. But inwardly, they're so hurt or they're so angry, or it'll be emerging pattern person who will cry, right, who will just go into collapse and cry. And then this feeling of gratification, I won, right, comes up over that person. This is the expression of the ominous, aggressive personality pattern. Then we have the seductive or submissive pattern. And this is the person who will use control with charm and with charisma. So as I got older, I learned how to do that with much more charm and with much more charisma. I learned how to be the controller to get what I wanted, through seduction, through charm, through other means that were, because I for sure did not want to look like my mother, because I had a real screamer for a mother. There was no way I was going to behave or look like her. So those of us who made vows never to be like our parents, we might be doing it, but we might be doing it more through seductiveness or through submissiveness. Well, what does that mean, submissive? That's what we commonly call passive aggressive, right? I'm going to get my way passively. So I had an abusive relationship with a boyfriend for a number of years, and one of the things that I'll never forget doing was, he was very much the ominous, aggressive, very charismatic. He was an actor. He was incredibly handsome. You know, people adored him, but boy, behind closed doors, this other side came out, right? Very aggressive side came out. And so one day after he was done screaming at me, I burned the dinner. So I found my ways, right, to be very controlling, to be passive aggressive, to find ways that would get him back. And then there's the withdrawn, aggressive, controlling energy pattern. And these are the ones who will go and do the silent treatment. Who's famous for doing the silent treatment? Put that in the chat. Those of you who do the silent treatment, well, guess what? You've got the aggressive energy pattern. And that's where we use that, you know, I'll withhold out of anger. I'll withhold out of meanness. It's a little bit of a different energy from the enduring pattern, who will also use the withdrawn process, but they are more of a repressing energy. This is more of a passive aggressive energy, the silent treatment, the withdrawn treatment. I'll get you by just not talking to you. Okay. So breathing, are we all still breathing? Everybody still breathing? Okay. All right, so forms of energy release. The typical one is to pull up and out, to explode as we see that energy. There's actually an energy hook that we often do. You can see the controlling eyes. They'll grab you with their eyes. They'll throw an energy hook out. It'll come in. You'll feel as though it's hooking you into the crown of your head, or into your they're looking for evoking some kind of emotional response from you. And they're outwardly projecting, mostly in the ominous or the aggressive form, right? They'll be outwardly projecting of that energy to discharge it. The inner critic, I love his, you know, how clearly he talks about the inner critic of this personality pattern. The inner critic is usually focused on everybody else's faults. You're the idiot. This is your fault. If you weren't so stupid, this wouldn't have happened. You know, now it might not be quite as obvious. Like you can see, like we have our dear president who does a lot of that name calling and blaming. And, but the more charming version of this is going to be more subtle. Like, well, they're just not. You know, I just am more insightful than they are. You know, they just don't get it like I do. You know, I'm taking this class on personality patterns, so they just don't see it the way I do. You know, now I've just got, you know, a leg up because I know about personality patterns now. So, you know, I'm smarter than they are. So we could use it in that way too, right? More of a, like a superiority kind of inner critic rather than the cruder sort of name calling or blaming. But really the most thing that we want to remember is that, and complaining, even just complaining, that victim-y thing of complaining, oh yeah, well, you know, I was in a good mood till you came home, or, you know, if this hadn't happened, if they hadn't done it this way, then I wouldn't be in this position. So those are the kinds of, you could say, complaining is also could be very much a subtler form of this pattern as well. So remember that we want to, in our objective observer, stay neutral and balanced, and that the gifts are to be strong in my core, and that ability to speak the truth is especially the gifts of this pattern. Okay, so we're going to take a 5-minute break, and then when we come back, we're going to do some experiential exercises and things. So let's go ahead and just, it's about 11:53, so why don't we come back at noon, so you can have just a couple more minutes today, and we'll take a quick break.